It'll be simple. They'll just be like one or two words at a time. I'm going to try to keep it as simple as I can for you. All right? We're talking today about the spiritual versus the physical and how primarily we focus on the physical. Even us Christians, born-again children of God, often we focus on the physical. And sometimes we let the spiritual slide or get second place, back seat, back burner, right? Sometimes, yeah. We do. We have to stop and think about the benefits and the blessings of God. And I want us to focus on that tonight. I'm going to give you a whole, I have a list of a whole bunch of things that I made of all of the blessings and benefits that God gives us. Okay? So, we're going to go through those, and you might have some thoughts that you might have. I probably won't have time to let you speak here tonight. So, let me give you my list, and if you want to add to my list of your own personal list, when you go home, you can do your own study, and you can add to that. All right? Fair enough? Okay. Psalm 68, one verse, it says in verse 19. Psalm 68, verse 19, it says, "Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with what? Benefits, even the God of our salvation." Father, bless the message tonight. Help us to focus on your spiritual blessings and benefits. God, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts tonight and help us as we leave here and help us, Lord, through this week to come, that we focus more on the spiritual and less on the physical. Father, I pray that you would remove the worries and the anxieties of this physical life that we live in. And help us, Lord, to just focus and think about the spiritual things that you give us every single day. Lord, I know that you give us physical blessings also. We know that the air that we breathe and the water we drink and the sunshine and all the things that we have, Lord, we can give you the credit and praise for those. But Lord, I pray that we would think more about the spiritual than we would about the physical. Father, forgive us when we don't think about the spiritual as much. Father, but I pray tonight that you'd help us and bless this message in Jesus' name. Amen. So when we see the word benefit, it's simply the definition of benefit is an act of kindness and or favor. So when you think about the benefits that God gives us, these are acts of kindness that he shows us. This is his favor toward us when he gives us these spiritual things. Now, I've said this before, and I mean this. Not everybody has as much as somebody else. Everybody is different. I spent a couple of weeks in Haiti several years ago with Harold Boyd on a missions trip, and what I saw in Haiti was just, it was awful. But the Christians that came to church weren't thinking about the physical things. They were focused on the spiritual things. They came to church wearing the only clothes they had, many of them. Most of the church members of that church that I was in, that's what they had, and that was the best they had. And it was clothing was nice, of course. They felt that they had to wear the best when they came to church. Some of the people that came to church lived in cardboard boxes. Some of these people didn't know where the next meal was going to come from. You and I have it a lot better than that. All of us do. Every one of us have a lot more things than a lot of people in other parts of the world. And that's our problem at times. We have too much physical things. We have too many material things. And we've gotten to the point in this country that we see things and we want them, and we sometimes go out and get what we want. But those people down there that came to those church services that we were preaching at, I'm telling you what, they were full of the Holy Spirit, and they loved every moment of it. You would never, ever know that they lived in complete poverty because they were so full of joy, smiling and just enjoying the service that we were a part of there. Didn't matter what time of day it was. Didn't matter how long we went in the evening services. We preached every night for a couple of weeks there. And they wanted as much as we could give them. The power would go out and the generators would fire up. We'd have to stop the service so they could get out there and get the generators fired up. or the gen. I think there was one big generator. Seemed like maybe there was more, though. And boy, they made an awful loud noise. And you had to preach over the generators. But they would fire up and the lights would come on in the building. It was a regular church building. It wasn't anything like this, but it was a church building. Just a few places for people to sit. Very rustic. But they had lights. They had a sound system so people could hear. But they didn't. That's how they lived. I would never recommend anybody to go to Haiti now because of the problems that they're having. But I'm telling you, folks, you don't know how good you have it here in this country until you go to another country and you experience what other people are going through. We mentioned another country a little while ago, and you know the country I'm talking about. But Christians are being killed in that country. Churches are being burned because of their belief system. And so we would look at that and we'd say, but we're so blessed here in this country. And we could use that term and we could say, okay, we're blessed. But I've often thought about this and sometimes it bothers me. I think that I'm more blessed than those people are. Because I have more material, physical things. And some of you think the same way. Oh, we're so blessed here in America. We have all these things. We have all this stuff. We have all this technology. We can go and buy nice new things and drive our nice new cars and trucks and things. And we can have our nice house to live in or a nice apartment. And we can have all this stuff. We can have all of our toys and we can play with this and do this. And we've got our big flat screen TVs mounted to the walls. And we can sit there and watch all kinds of stuff. And oh, we're so blessed. It's all material. It's all physical stuff. And all of that means nothing spiritually. You see where I'm going tonight? See where I'm going today? Well, I can watch some church things on TV, so my TV's become a spiritual thing. Well, okay. You want to say that, that's fine. Oh, I drive my car to church. And Pastor, you know, I need an air-conditioned car in the summer. Because, Pastor, I just don't like the heat. I can't deal with the heat, Pastor. I have to have air conditioning in my car. Do you remember back about 150 years ago? They didn't have cars. Can you think back about 150 years? None of us were around, I know. But they would get on their horse or get in their buggies, click, click, and off the church they'd go. And it could be pouring rain and they're still going off to church. It could be hot and humid down in the south and they're still going off to church. They didn't have the fancy things that they have today. Oh, maybe they had some frills on their buggies. Or maybe they had a canopy over their head. But they didn't have air conditioning. They didn't have heat for the winter. Oh, Pastor, you know I've got to have a good heater in my car because I don't like the cold. Oh, I don't like the cold either. But we look at all of this material stuff today, and we think we're just blessed. And yet there's so many people that don't have these niceties. Are they less blessed? They're not less blessed. But we have that mentality today that we think, because I've got more than you, oh, God's been good to me. Well, has God been good to you? You got less than I got. Or I have less than you, does that mean that you've been more blessed to me because you have more toys? Your garage is full of more things than mine? I don't have a garage. See, I don't even have a garage. You have a garage? Yeah. I know, in your garage you got about 4 four-wheelers, all kinds of toys. Bob's got how many four-wheelers you up to now? 4, 5, 6? Don't go there? Okay, we're treading on areas here. Tractor. We've got all of our little things that we have that we enjoy. I really believe that every man needs to get on a tractor once in a while, though. I had to just get on my tractor yesterday and just drive it. Operate the bucket up and down. I just had to do that. That's just what I had to do. Make sure it started. I have to check it periodically. Make sure all the hydraulics work and everything. Every man needs a tractor to ride around on. But you know what? Those that don't have a tractor, are they less blessed than me? No, I'm making payments on my tractor. If you don't have a tractor payment, you're better off than I am, probably. But you know what I'm saying here tonight. You know what I'm saying. Please, please, because you have more than me, don't think that you're more blessed than me. And if I have more than you, I'm not going to think that I'm more blessed than you. Don't think that I'm more blessed than you because I have more stuff. No, it's not. That's not. But we in America, we judge our blessings based upon what we have. Based upon the things that we have in our homes and in our homes and our cars and our things. And we look at all the stuff we have and, oh, God's been so good to me. And I look at people in Haiti and God's been good to them too. They just don't have the physical things that you have. And yet I know you think you're more blessed than they are. No, no, they're not. They're not. Somebody has a lot less than you is not less blessed than you. And so, again, the benefits that God gives us, these are acts of kindness. Look at chapter 1, well, the 103rd Psalm in verse 2, 103 verse 2. 103, Psalm 103 verse 2. Here's a question for you, and I know many of you do, and I'm not saying you don't, but do you thank God daily for His benefits? I try to every day. I try to just say, thank you, God, for your benefits. Thank you for your blessings, your benefits, Lord. And I'm thanking Him not for the material things I have. I'm thanking Him for the spiritual benefits and blessings. And Psalm 103, verse 2, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. What? Forget not what? All His benefits. But many times we forget the spiritual and we elevate the physical. Psalm 116, verse 2. The 116th Psalm in verse 2. I'm sorry, verse 12. Psalm 116, verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord? That word render means to return or to pay back. What shall I render or pay back unto the Lord for all His what? Benefits toward me. Now, all of these three verses that we just looked at here in the book of Psalms, I believe they're spiritual and not physical. You can believe whatever you want. Maybe you think, no, they're the physical blessing. No, I really believe they're the spiritual blessings that God gives us. The benefits of God are spiritual. I'm not saying He doesn't bless us physically with things, with food and with clothing and with your car and with your truck and with your house and with your tractor and with your four-wheelers and with your boats and with your campers and with your, name it, whatever else you got in this world. But let's not focus on those things. Let's focus on the spiritual things. All right, got your paper ready? All right, here we go. I'm going to name off a whole bunch of spiritual things tonight. Just write some of these down. If you can do that, please do. I think it'll be a blessing to you. Number one, and I said this morning, but these are in no specific order, okay? But we have eternal life. Write that down. Eternal life. Maybe you already wrote that down this morning. We have eternal life. That is a spiritual blessing. And I quoted John 3:16, but I want you to look at John 5:24 now tonight. John 5:24. John 5:24. Now, all of these spiritual blessings I'm going to give you comes with Bible verses. And so if we don't have time to look at them or look them up tonight, you can look them up when you get home or sometime this week. You can use this as a little Bible study through the week maybe, or devotions or whatever you want to do with it. It says in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation but is passed from death unto life. And so we have this amazing life that God has given to us as a child of His. And so it says there that we hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation but is passed from death unto life. And so we see the present, the future, and the past all in this one verse, that we have this great everlasting life. Listen, you can't top that with anything physical in this world. I challenge you, find me something better than everlasting life in your things. You could have the most expensive house in the world. You could have $1 billion, multi-$1 billion. That's not better than everlasting life. Because your $1 billion is going to stay right here when you leave. When your heart stops beating, everything you have stays right here. And your soul is going off either to heaven or to hell. One or the other. That's the only two places there are. There's no purgatory, no in between. It's heaven if you're saved, hell if you're not. And everything that you have gained over the, all your material possessions are going to stay right where you left them. And then your family and friends and neighbors are going to come and fight over them. Oh, I want that. I want that. No, you can't have that. And they're going to fight and fight and fight. And if you don't have a will, forget it. It goes back to the state anyway. So just all the money you have in your bank or whatever it is that you have, it all stays right here. You're gone. You're off into the spiritual realm, and all your physical things are staying here on the physical earth. And so we have eternal life. Number two, we have forgiveness of sins. Y'all, thank God for that. You is a sinner. You have been a sinner, you are a sinner, and you'll continue to be a sinner until Jesus takes you out of this world. Now, I know, theologically speaking, we're saints that sin. I understand that. But we still sin. We still have thoughts we shouldn't have. We still may say things we shouldn't say. We might even do things we shouldn't do. But we have forgiveness of sins. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Ephesians 1, 7. And some of these verses, you know these verses. I'm not giving you anything new here tonight. There is nothing new under the sun. I'm just reminding you of some things. Ephesians 1, 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. See, that's spiritual. And we looked at Ephesians 1 through chapter 1, verses 1 through 6 this morning. In verse 3, it said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And so in heaven, we are, and yes, we are going to leave this world someday, and we're going to physically and spiritually enter into heaven. I'm going to get a new body. You're going to get a new body at the rapture of the church, right? Praise God for that. This old body is staying right here. And I'm getting a brand new one. And that will be some type of a physical body that we know. I don't understand it all. We don't understand it all. But we do know that we're going to get a new body someday. And so this present body stays here. And my new spiritual body goes with me to heaven. If the rapture should occur before I die. If I die before the rapture, my soul comes back and still gets that new body. It's a win-win situation. We may die first and go off to heaven with our soul and with our spirit, and then someday come back and pick up our new body from planet Earth that God is going to give us as our old bodies are resurrected. As the old bodies come out of the ground, God turns them into a brand new body. We get that new body, and then it's joined with our soul in the air, in the clouds, in heaven, and then we go off to be with the Lord. But until then, we need to constantly go to God and ask Him to forgive us of our sins. I have to do that every day, folks. I'm just being honest with you. I have to do that every day. You probably have to, too, if you're honest with yourself. If you're honest with God, you have to ask for forgiveness of sins. I'm not speaking some horrible, you went out and did some horrible thing, but we still sin with our minds. We sin with our eyes. We sin with our words at times, and we need forgiveness. Number three, I put up two fingers. Number three, I'm trying to help you out here. Number three is we have fellowship with God. We have sweet fellowship with the Lord. What a blessing to know that we are in fellowship with God as a born-again child of God. Before that, we were completely separated from God. Separated. Our sin, our natural birth separated us from God. It took to be born again in order for us to restore the fellowship. You know the story of Adam and Eve. Their fellowship in the garden was broke the moment that they partook of that fruit because they sinned and they disobeyed God. And so God had to restore the fellowship with mankind by through the blood sacrifice and all of the Old Testament blood sacrifices. They just kind of put a canopy over the sin. Jesus Christ had to come and remove the sin penalty completely with his death on the cross and the blood that he shed for us. Thank God for that. But now we can have fellowship with God. Look at Ephesians. You're right there in Ephesians still. Look at chapter 2, verse 13. Chapter 2, verse 13, Ephesians, it says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who are sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." And by that nearness, we have this sweet fellowship with the Lord. Number four, we are now part of the family of God. I said that this morning. We're part of God's family. He's my Father. He's your Father. We all have the same Father if we're saved, right? What a blessing that is. To be adopted out of the family of the devil and to be adopted into the family of God, the moment you were born again, that whole adoption process took place. And you are now part of God's family. We looked this morning at John chapter 1 and verse 12. Number five, I'm born again. Speaking of that, I'm born again. I got a whole different birth. My first birth was not good enough to get me into heaven. You know that. I know that. We all know that. Biblically, the first birth is not good enough. Well, I thought the first birth... No, it's not good enough. The first birth brought you into this world, this physical world. The second birth brings you into the spiritual world, and it gives you that relationship with God Almighty. Jesus said, ye must be born again. It's not an option. You want to go to heaven someday? You want to be saved? You got to be born again. We know that based upon what the Bible says. And so I'm born again. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Again, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Number six, I'm moving along here. We're saved from hell. That's a blessing. Now, remember this, and I know some people, that's their only focal point, and that is a good focal point, to be saved from hell, but that's not the only blessing. That's a byproduct of being born again. That's all that is. I don't have to go to hell when I die. That's pretty good. That is a really good deal. But I got another 40 or so here that I'm going to give you, so this is just one out of all of these that I've got listed. I know I just scared you with the 40. It's 6:45. But we're saved from hell. We don't have to go to hell when we die. Praise God for that. Number seven, I got a mansion being constructed or something over on the other side. Jesus said he's got a mansion in John chapter 14. And I like this. We sing the song, I got a mansion just over the hilltop. Hallelujah. John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. And so I've got this place being prepared for me. I've got some kind of a structure up there that God is preparing and planning and build. Jesus Christ said himself he's going to go and prepare a place for us. What a blessing that is. Webster says this about this whole thing, about this mansion. It's a place of residence, a home, a habitation. That's what Webster says that is. That's what that is. It's a place. We're leaving this home behind, and we're getting a spiritual home in heaven. That's part of the blessings of God. These are all things that we can read about, that we can believe in. Number eight, I have peace with God. Peace with God. Prior to being saved, I didn't have any peace with God. You didn't either. But now you have peace with God. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1. We have peace with God because we're now saved. We're born again. We're part of his family. We're on our way to heaven. God is my Father. And so we have this peace with God. The world does not know peace. A lost person does not have any of these benefits at all. Nothing. They don't have this. They don't have these things. I've only got to number eight. They don't have any of this. The world doesn't know these benefits of God. But you and I know them because we're Bible believers. And we have the Word of God that tells us and gives us these blessings and benefits. Number 9, I have the Holy Spirit's indwelling. What a blessing that is. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Verse 20 says, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So now I have this amazing indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I can be filled with the Holy Spirit anytime I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I can have the power of God anytime I need the power of God. Isn't that that's a blessing. That's a benefit, folks. To be able to be directed and guided by the Holy Spirit, because the moment you got born again, the moment you got saved, the Holy Spirit came and indwelt you, your spirit. And I think I said this, I don't know when it was, last week. But the Spirit of God is supposed to speak to our spirit. And then our spirit is supposed to tell the soul what to do. And then our soul, if it's listening to the Spirit, tells our body what to do and carry out what the Spirit is telling us what to do. That's the way it should work. If we're with God and we're filled with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit is telling you what to do and what not to do. And then your body carries out what the Spirit is telling you to do. So often we have it the other way around. I'm going to do what I want to do, preacher, and you're not going to tell me anything different. This is my body, I'm going to do what I want with it. Well, you're listening to the physical body and you're not listening to the spiritual spirit. Number 10, I think I'm up to 10, I don't know. I'm a conqueror now. We're conquerors. Did you know that we're conquerors? Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. I wasn't a conqueror before I got saved, and neither were you. In Romans chapter 8, verse 37, it says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And so now I've got this ability to be able to have victory through Jesus Christ. I am a conqueror. Number 11, I'm a new creature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. What a blessing that is. You know what I got now? I got new motives as a result of being a new creature. I have new thoughts. I have new ideals. I have a whole new purpose in life now. Because I'm a new creature, so do you. The Lord changed your direction in this world when you became a new creature in Christ. Your motives ought to be different now. Your words ought to be different now. Your thought life ought to be different now. You ought to want to do spiritual things now. The old world out there shouldn't be bothering you anymore. You ought to be wanting to serve Jesus Christ, and God the Father, and listen to the Holy Spirit because you're a new creature. The old has passed away. Say goodbye to the old and say hello to the new. Don't let the old you tell you what to do. Let the Spirit of God, which is new in you and made you a new creature, tell you what to do. You're a new creature. Number 12, you got a different mind when you got saved. You got a right mind. I love the story in Mark chapter 5 with the maniac of Gadara. Jesus steps on the shore after getting out of the boat, and that maniac of Gadara there in Mark chapter 5, I mean, he was a troubled soul. How many demons? I don't like to use the word demon because that's not a King James Bible word. I hear people use the word demon and I don't like that word. I like devils. I don't like devils. Don't get me wrong. I don't like devils. But I like to use the Bible word. How many devils did this man have in him? He said his name was Legion. He says, for we are many. And I've got written in my Bible, and I don't know what you have, and I don't know what the number really is not that important, but I got 6,000 soldiers written down as a legion. That's a lot of devils to be in one human being. But these devils just kept coming and coming and coming and coming. This guy, this man, could not get rid of the devils that was in him. He was in the tombs. That's where he spent his time. He likes to be around dead people. I have a problem with people that just crave skulls and watching movies of the great of the dead movies. What are those movies out there? Walking Dead, zombie movies, zombie games. There's something wrong there when you're playing with death all the time. I don't know if I hit a nerve there, but if I did, good. This man couldn't get rid of. He could not get away from this. He just stayed in the tombs the whole time. That's where he felt, I don't know, I don't think he felt comfortable there, but that's where he wanted to be, was around the dead, in tombs. He would cut himself, and he had the supernatural power about him, but he used that supernatural power to his destruction and to nothing good because he was so full of devils. Jesus comes along and removes every devil out of this man, casts the devils out of him, sends them into the herd of swine, and they go zooming down the hill and into the Sea of Galilee, and away they're gone. But the man afterwards was a whole different person. He wanted to spend time with Jesus. Verse 18, when he was come into the ship, he that had been, I underline those two words in my Bible, had been possessed with the devil, prayed him that he might, what? Be with him. Just be with him. Jesus, of course, told him to go back home to thy friends. Tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. But when the guy got saved, he put clothes on. There's a good lesson right there. We could talk about clothing for a long time. It's summertime. You know how women dress sometimes in the summer. They don't know how to dress in the summer. This guy, he decides he's going to put some clothes on. And I don't think, guys, he went and put on his short shorts, and his muscle shirt, and went and talked with Jesus. This man wanted to get dressed. This man covered up his entire body. I think that's a good lesson for all of us, men and women. I know some of you guys think you can walk around in your shorts and your muscle shirt to show everybody how strong you are, what a man you are. I think it takes a man to dress properly and put clothes on. This guy, he was naked and wounded before, and now he's putting clothes on. He's sitting at the feet of Jesus, and he just, after he got clothed, he was in his right mind in verse 15, and he just wanted to spend time with the Lord. Anyway, he got in his right mind. When you got saved, you got into your right mind. Please stay in your right mind. Number 13, we have redemption. Redemption. I read Ephesians 1:7 a little while ago, but in whom we have redemption. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Redemption is the release from bondage at a great cost. Jesus Christ paid the price for us on the cross of Calvary. He's the one that redeemed us through his blood. We have that now. That's a spiritual blessing. That's a benefit. We've been redeemed. We have been released from the bondage of sin. You know, and I've said this countless times, and you know it's true if you've read your Bible. You do not have, as a Christian, you do not have to sin anymore. You sin because you wanna. That's the truth from the Word of God. You do not have to sin as a Christian, as a born-again believer. But we have redemption. Number 14, we're sealed with the Spirit of God. We already talked about the Spirit coming within us, but we're sealed with the Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 4. Talks about how we're sealed with that spirit of promise. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. We're sealed until Jesus comes. We're sealed until the day we die. That's what keeps me saved is the sealing of the Holy Spirit. I've been quickened. That's number 15. Quickened. I've been made alive. I was dead before I got saved. So were you. You were a walking dead person. But when you got saved, according to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, you were made alive. You were quickened. Now that you're really alive now. Number 16, we have grace. Didn't have grace before. We got grace now. What a blessing that. I got to move along here because I'm not even halfway through yet. We have mercy. Right? Mercy. We have the faith of Christ. It's number 18, faith of Christ. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So we have the faith of Christ. We have the righteousness of God, number 19. The righteousness of God. That's how we can live a righteous life. It's because God is working and moving through us. We've been justified. We have justification. 21, we have sanctification. 22, we're free from sin. Romans chapter 6, free from sin. Again, as I said a moment ago, you don't have to sin anymore. You're free from that. 23, we're joint heirs with Christ. I like Romans 8:17. I don't know if you do. I do. Romans 8:17 says this. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Joint heirs with Christ. 24, we have the love of Christ. Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? It goes on. We have His love. 25, we have new riches. These are those blessings and benefits that I've been talking about. New riches. Ephesians 2:7, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Number 26, we have discernment that we didn't have before. Now as I read the Bible, I can have discernment as I read. I read things, I hear things out there, I hear some new religions out there, I hear new theology coming across the airwaves. People are out there Googling stuff and they're coming up with all kinds of new religions and new theology and new beliefs, and it's coming into our Bible-believing churches and it's destroying churches, it's closing churches. God forbid, but that's happening. The devil is very sly. He'll throw you a little stuff here and there that sounds pretty good, but it's not biblical. It's not right. I have discernment now. My antennas go up. Beep, you know, like my friend the Martian or whatever that ocean. My favorite Martian. I have now discernment. I can determine. Wait a minute, let me check the Bible on that. Is that real or is that something that somebody is just coming up with? I have that discernment. I didn't have that before. That's why today there's a lot of people, they'll believe anything. You tell them something, oh yeah, that sounds good. Pastor, we need to do that. Yeah, we need to believe that. Yeah, we need to. No, it's not. No, come on, calm down. Let's have some discernment. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you that discernment, that knowledge. 27, you got a spiritual appetite when you got saved. You didn't have that before. Don't tell me you had that before. You didn't. You have a spiritual appetite now. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby, 1 Peter 2:2. You know why you're in church tonight? I would hope it's because you're saved and you got a spiritual appetite to be in church. You know what will bring you here Wednesday night? You have a spiritual appetite. What will cause you to read your Bible tomorrow? A spiritual appetite. And Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday. You have a spiritual appetite now. Why do you want to pray? You have a spiritual appetite. Even when you tithe and give the missions, that's part of your spiritual appetite. There's a lot of things there that we can throw in there, but we have a spiritual appetite. We have a new resurrection. We're part of the resurrection. One of these days, the trumpet's going to sound, and we're going to rise. We're going to go. That's part of the resurrection with the rapture. Number 29. I'm an ambassador for Christ now. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now that we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Now, you weren't an ambassador for the Lord before you got saved, but now you are. That's a benefit. That's a blessing. That's being an ambassador for Christ is far more important than being an ambassador for the United States of America. We have some new weapons now. 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And we have the Ephesians 6. We have the whole armor of God. That's our warfare. That's our weapons. We have spiritual weapons that we didn't have before. We can fight the devil now and fight the world and fight the flesh because of the weapons that God has given to us. We have new weapons. Number 31, we have deliverance. Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. We've been delivered from this evil world. Deliverance. 32, we have direct access to God. You don't need a priest. You don't need to climb in a little wall or climb in a little room somewhere, shut the door and slide the little thing over and say, you know, Father, I have sinned and, you know, all of this. And, well, say 10 Hail Marys or 1,000 Hail Marys or whatever. You don't need, some man does not have to take your prayer to God. Or what they believe too now is that prayer has to go to Mary. And then Mary has to take it to Christ because Mary is so much sweeter and nicer than Jesus is. We have direct access to God. Anytime of the day, all you have to do is think and you can get in touch with the throne of grace, right? You have direct access. You have as much access to the throne of grace and to God as any pastor, any priest, any pope. I wonder how much access they really have. But I'll leave it at that. But we have direct access to God. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. We have victory, 33, we have victory over Satan. I'm almost done. Come on, bear with me. We have victory over Satan now. 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Number 34, I wrote this down. We are now the children of light, not the children of darkness. 1 Thessalonians 5:5. Ye are of the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, Paul says, nor of darkness. 35, we have heaven is our home, our final resting place. 36, we have hope. We didn't have a whole lot of that beforehand. We have hope. 37, I have an example in Christ now. 1 Peter 2:21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. The best example that any Christian can follow is the example of Jesus Christ. Don't follow my example all the time. Don't follow somebody else's example, a human being. I'll disappoint you somewhere along the line. I'll discourage you somewhere along the line. Jesus Christ is the great example. Number 38, we have precious promises. So many. You can't even number them. Somebody wrote a book. And they actually recorded over 8,000 promises from the Bible, over 8,000, and he didn't exhaust them all. Precious promises. 39, he's our advocate. An advocate. He's our go-between, according to 1 John 2:1. Number 40, we're up to 40. We become part of the bride of Christ. Part of the bride of Christ. Revelation chapter 19. And I finish up with this one, and again, you probably have more than me, but I just wrote this down for number 41. I have strength, spiritual strength that I didn't have before. Do you see we might have some blessings tonight? Quite a few, don't we? And I think there was 41 there. I wrote down 41. And if you have more than that, well, praise God. Go home and do a study for the rest of the week and come back next week and tell me how many more than 41 that you can come up with. You've got to have chapter and verse. Chapter and verse. I have a chapter and verse for every one of these blessings, these benefits. We've been blessed by God with all of these things and a lot more. I didn't exhaust these. We'd be here forever. We could go on with this study probably for weeks and weeks and months and months. But just what I'm trying to get you to do today is just think spiritual. Think about the spiritual benefits, the spiritual blessings that God has given to you, has available for you. If you're not saved, you're missing out on all of these. You're missing out on every one of them. You need to get saved, maybe. Maybe somebody's listening to us tonight or even in the future. You need to be saved. If you need to be saved, get saved. I say this often, but if you're not saved, why not? Why? How come you're not saved? There's no reason not to be saved. The only reason that you have is your pride. Your pride keeps you from being saved. That's it. That's it. We'll just go back and look at that verse there in Psalm 68:19, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for all the benefits, all the blessings you give to us. And Lord, when we got saved, you just every single day. And I didn't even talk about the verse there in Lamentations where you daily loadeth us with your mercies. And every single morning your mercies are new and your faithfulness is great. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for your benefits and blessings and mercies and faith and your love. Lord, we have so much to be thankful for tonight. Thank you for the spiritual goodness that you have given to us. Help us to focus on the spiritual and less on the physical. Speak to our hearts, Father. If there's somebody here that needs to be saved, I pray for their salvation tonight. Pray that your Holy Spirit would work mightily upon them. We primarily preach, Lord, tonight to the Christian about all these benefits that we have and blessings. But, Lord, if there's somebody lost in this room, please convict them of their lost condition. If somebody's listening tonight online, convict them of their need to be saved. And Lord, I pray that you'd encourage those that need to be encouraged. Challenge those that need to be challenged. And convict us, Lord, where we need to be convicted. Bless the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Rich is going to play something. I don't know what he's got picked out. Count your many blessings. Let's